Don't get too worked up. And I said it actually. So I said at that meeting. It's like you can use me as an example. If you ever have anything that's shameful that you did, like if you had those cold sweat moments at night when you lay your pillow down and stuff you cannot let go of, remember, just go. You know, Bryson's done worse. That's it. Just remember it. I always tell people that I could call my sponsor up and tell him I killed a drifter. And I literally could. I picked a sponsor that I didn't know and I would never see, so I could be honest. And that's a key thing. I don't have any ego with my sponsor. He doesn't see me, he doesn't know me. He's not really my friend as far as day to day. And that's awesome, because I just call up and go, yeah, nah, I'm not doing that. I work the slow. Oh, I'm so slow on the steps. It's terrifying. And you know what? He loves me. He didn't beat me up about it, and it's awesome. It's not a great idea, I can tell you from my experience, but you know what? There's no right way, wrong way. Anything you hear here tonight, oh, God, how good is it? Like, think about it. Take what you like and leave the rest. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's awesome, because you can go, you know, hippie from California, he came out here to Nashville, spouted a bunch of crap, but he said this one thing. You know, maybe there's just one, right? Leave the rest of it here. It's all good, you know? But the inventory thing, wow, honesty. The reason I bring up the I hate the slogan thing, I hate that there's this cliche that we have out there, that people are intimacy, and they go, into me, I see. And it's all like, it's all very hippie, like, and I never got it. I was like, what? What does that have to do with me and her? Get to the part where I fix her and it works out. The deal is this. I finally had somebody say it. A 12-step person said intimacy, they defined it as sharing your honest reality with someone and having them share their honest reality with you and neither of you trying to change it. That's the deal. And that's what I have with my sponsor. I just tell him what's up. He doesn't try to change it. It's just accepted. And I get to decide if it works or not. And that's an amazing, beautiful thing. But the crazy thing about that kind of intimacy is sharing your true reality. Dude, I'm in Al-Anon. I don't have any concept of reality. You know, let's say go back to it. My life is good, but if you ask me, I'm not good enough. You know, if you ask me, I don't make enough money. If you ask me, nobody likes me. I'm not this. I'm not that. All of a sudden, that low self-esteem stuff. Guess what? That's not real. It's not real. That's not real. This program helped me. This program. People love me in this program, and I thought you guys knew more than me. So if you love me and you think I'm worthy of love, well, you're challenging what I think of myself. So if I'm going to think that you know what's up, it's like right before my brain short circuits, I break down and accept it. Perhaps I'm lovable. These rooms showed me that. Coming to a room and getting a hug from, you know, just anybody, random person that I don't even know, that's a powerful experience for me. And feeling that love opened me up to start to love myself. Doing an inventory taught me that maybe I wasn't as horrible as I thought I was. I take responsibility for stuff that I had nothing to do with. As a child, you take on all this stuff that, man, it's not you, and you don't know that. You can't see it. I had to understand that every one of those mean, rough cowboys that hassled me and abused me and shamed me, they were all scared to death. Because secure, loving, connected to God people don't do that stuff. I did that stuff. I still slip into it sometimes, but now I do it so much less. I'm not scared anymore. The third step, because it ain't my deal anymore. I took the third step. It's God's deal. It's not mine. So I don't have to be attached to it. I just show up. If I flew 2,000 miles and suck tonight, that's what was supposed to happen. If I just choke, if I get up here and choke and don't know what I'm doing, you know, wow, what were you thinking, God? I don't get that much of a pass, but still. And then you get to that fifth step all of a sudden, so you got this shameful stuff, and you tell somebody, and you tell God, and you tell yourself, which is even more important, and they're like, yeah, cool. Guess what? I still love you. Still my sponsee. You're awesome. I come to meetings in rooms. I share stuff. Oh, my God. Curl your hair at the group level. And you know what? People, I've never been shamed in a room in Al-Anon, you know? I've never been, you know, told, you know, how to do something or not or whatever. I've had a beautiful experience. So all of a sudden I go, wow, maybe I'm not the only one. Maybe I'm not so bad. And all of a sudden, there it is. The funny thing is that you admit it to God, to ourselves, exact nature to our wrongs. Well, what's cool about that for me is my inventory included good stuff, and I had to admit that to myself, too. And that was pretty powerful. Like, there's some good stuff that comes from being an Al-Anon, you know. It's like, we always drive home, you know. We got way better snacks at our meetings than AA. You guys got to know, there's a meeting in L.A. that I go to that one time we had sushi for snacks. So, yeah, dude. I tell that story because that's awesome. That is like, that, I got to think it was, I'm hoping it was a newcomer. But anyway. But I judge no man or snack person. But anyway, so, and then, you know, you're just entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Doesn't say you got to get to work on yourself. Doesn't say, well, you got to get rid of that stuff right now. It's like, just be ready. Just be willing. My whole life, I wasn't willing. I was unsuccessful in business, in love, in all these things, because I was not willing. I wasn't willing to accept love. I was arrogant. I know what's best for me. And what's best for me is the absolute worst of everything. That's it. That was like my motto. You know, I would... Wow. But it was. It's how I treated myself. I was horrible to myself. I was absolutely horrible to myself. When I think back about it, it's like, wow. You know, but this program taught me humility, which means that I have to graciously accept good with the bad. I can accept any, like, hardship or pain or trial in the world, but I can't take a compliment. When I walked in these rooms, I once described taking a compliment, like, after speaking and someone shaking your hand and going, hey, that was really great. It just felt, I said, it felt like someone putting an ice pick between my eyes. It really did. And I would cower like a pup getting hit. I would just, when people compliment me, I would physically jerk. And that's arrogance. Saying, no, I wasn't. No, it wasn't that good. Oh, hey, I like the, you know what? I like the, you know, table decorations. No, they're silly. You know what? When you do that, you're telling me that I don't know what I'm doing. How rude is that? I have people say, you're great. I go, no. You know, what I'm saying to that person is, you don't know. I know better than you. And that's arrogance. It's not my job. It's not my job to tell them they don't know what they're doing. It's just my job to show up, be willing. Willing to accept the good and the bad. And be willing to just say, hey, God, I can't do this. Can you help me out? You know, you run on through. Eighth step sneaks up. It's really cool for me when I look at it. I'm coming up around it, and it's like, dude, dig. It just says make a list. It just says made a list and became willing once again. It's like, oh, I can do that. And the next thing you know, you're in the ninth. Another dirty secret is that when you go into your sponsor with that 800-person list on the ninth step, it's probably going to shave it down a little, just so you know. That's probably not going to end up being quite like that. And guess what? Amend. Change. Look it up in the dictionary. Hey, that means I'm sorry. I'll tell you all I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. I killed your dog or whatever. I did a lot of goofy stuff. But I'm just saying, how about I don't do that stuff anymore? How about I amend my behavior? How about I change that? You know, and make amends to myself. You know, the world didn't hurt me near as much as I hurt myself. God, I'd look back and, you know, it's like, I kind of let myself off the hook, you know, but there you go. Personal inventory, daily, keeping up with it. You don't want to build anything up on that clean slate. You know, you get a good clean slate. I always, you know, I shared all this stuff, you know, out here in front of my mom, in front of God, and in front of all you people. And the gig is that, you know what? You got nothing on me. I live in the steamboat life today. This program's allowed me. You know, I say, this program's allowed me to be the man I used to say that I was. You know? I was lying, just so you know. If you met me back then, I was lying to you. But I'm out of that cycle. You know, I'm out of that cycle of like, I believe I'm bad, so I do bad stuff, which makes me feel bad, so it reinforces it. And I feel bad, so I do bad stuff. And I stop that downward spiral. Stop it, you can spiral up. I'm going to break off the steps for a second because I want to wrap up and I want to talk about something that's very like near and dear to my heart. Compassion for alcoholics. They talk about it all the time. Have compassion for the alcoholics. If you want to have compassion for an alcoholic, find the one thing that you do maybe a little too much and stop. Cold turkey. Watch a little too much TV. Maybe you smoke. Maybe I eat kind of this too much. Maybe I, whatever it is that you do that you might be, I'm not saying, just saying you might be checking out or avoiding something by that. And stop it. I promise you, you'll gain some compassion. And all of a sudden you go, wow, this ain't easy. It hit me in a meeting recently that Al-Anon's the only program where we don't stop doing what hurts us before we do anything else. In AA, they quit. What's hurting you? Drinking? We'll stop. Now work the steps. We come in, we go, what's hurting you? I don't really know. We'll start on the steps, and we just continue beating on ourselves. All my Al-Anon behavior continues to this day. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You know, yes, it's greatly improved. But wow, controlling, you know, dominating, self-righteous, whoa, hello, you know. Raise my hand when they read that part. But that's the gig. It's like, wow, we don't stop. You know, if I'm hurting myself with a relationship, wow, better get into some acceptance. Better look at what I'm doing. Better think about it. Because it's like, that's self-care. It's always the grandma self-care pitch, you know. Get a massage. Get a manicure, you know. Like, hey, how about stop hurting yourself? How about finding that huge thing that's killing you in your life? Whatever it is. How about that? How about saying, hey, God, I'm beating on myself here. Can you help me? You know, that's what alcoholics do. That's what I learned from AA. Is that I hurt myself with all sorts of behaviors, and I had to stop. I had to stop being that guy. Because, man, I hated that guy. Hated that guy. And it's just no way to live your life hating yourself. You know, this program's, it's given me a lot of gifts. It's given me, you know, I have an amazing life. I have an amazing life that hasn't changed at all. The facts of my life are exactly the same as when I came into this program. Exactly the same. Same life, same people, in some cases, all around me still. My reactions have changed. The way I deal with them have changed. The way I feel about it has changed. That change, it's like, I have a God and I trust Him. And the rest of it falls away. Thanks.